Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Franklin and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
Now, in Daniel chapter 1, I want you to go there, and we're going to go there real quickly. But, you know, I was just thinking about people who don't understand fasting, who've never been here, you know, and why in the world would you do that? And you need to see it in the scripture and take advantage of all these prayer meetings. And I'm telling you, it's just a time where we say to God, "You're priority. You mean everything to me. You are my heart's desire." I believe in fasting because I've seen what happens when this congregation and others around the world join in fasting 21 days in January. I've seen miraculous healings as answers to prayer through fasting and prayer. One of the greatest miracles that I personally have seen is one that took place about 18 years ago. Let me tell you about Laura and Drake Todd. Laura, who is here this morning, and Drake also, her son was diagnosed at the age of four, I believe it was, with leukemia. And for over a year, he was in treatment. And I remember this four-year-old boy being ashy white pale. I remember all of his hair being gone from the treatment. And then on the Sunday that the fast started, 1 year after he was diagnosed with it, he was rushed to the hospital with a 107-degree fever burning up. The doctors didn't give him much hope at all. They told Laura that if he did survive, that his brain, he would have brain damage because of the length and of how long that fever had been raging in his body. And they really didn't expect him to survive. And that morning, in desperation, she came to church weeping and crying. And we as a church, and some of you were there, we gathered around her and we prayed and we wept and we cried. And we said, "God, you know, I know you're God and you're sovereign. We can't force you or make you do anything, but we're asking you for a miracle. And I don't understand it all, but there's something about fasting and prayer that releases miracles." And she began to pray, and we began to pray, and we all went on the fast. And to make a long story short, here's what happened. She went on the fast, and God did touch. He did begin to respond. He went into complete remission, came out of it completely sound in his mind. But the miracle didn't end there for Laura. She was a single mother, tremendously struggling, you can imagine, running her child to chemotherapy and trying to keep the household going. And one of the families in the church saw her that day, and the Lord spoke to them and said, "Buy her a new van." They didn't even know her condition. They didn't even know what her needs that I'm aware of, unless they had found out that she needed a car. I can't remember those details, but I remember that they came to me and they said, "We want to do something for her." And they bought her a brand new van, and she didn't know what she was getting. And I called her and I said, "Laura, could you meet me at the office? I need to talk to you about something." And I said, "It's good." And on the way to the office, the clunker that she was driving broke down on the interstate. And she was so frustrated. I remember it. And she came in and it was, you know, child still, you know, going through everything. But this was during the fast, so he hadn't completely recovered. He was still, as a matter of fact, in the hospital. And she comes in to the office apologizing and all of that. And I had the joy, one of the greatest joys, is to give her the keys to that van and say, "A family in the church provided this." And she just wept and she just cried. And the miracle didn't end there. Then the family gave them $5,000 with it, and she paid off all of her debt except for a house, and she owed $20,000 on it. And then that family stepped up and said, "We want to pay the debt off." And then they gave her another $5,000. And I just want to hang around you, Laura, so some of that favor. How do you explain that? And now here's the rest of the story. Come on up, Laura. Come on up, Drake. This is Drake. He's a senior in high school. This is Laura, his mother. He was not supposed to be here, folks. He was not supposed to be here. Come on over here, please. I'm so glad to see you. Now, here's the rest of the story. Drake plays how many instruments?
Drake plays 13 instruments.
He's a senior in high school, and he plays 13 instruments. And the Marine Band, is that right? The Marine Band has heard him play and are after him, trying to recruit him to be one of the musicians in their... And I just think that is an astounding miracle. We want you to come play one of your... You play the sax too, right?
Yes, I do.
Wow. So, yeah.
He actually started playing the saxophone because when he was little, he got a little suit and he said, "Do I look like Pastor Jensen?" And then he always wanted to be like you. And when he was in middle school, they asked him what instrument he wanted. He said saxophone. And as soon as he picked that saxophone up, I mean, he had loud, clear sound. There never was any staggering. And the Lord has just blessed him. And not only did the Marines come after him because of his musical talent, which is extraordinary, they told me that night that he nearly died that his brain had boiled in its own blood. And if he survived, he would be so brain damaged, he would have no quality of life. He made the highest score on the ASVAB that Marine recruiter had ever seen in person.
Give him a big hand. Thank you so much. Isn't that beautiful? Praise God. In Daniel chapter 1, I'm going to be very brief in what I share this morning. What you have is Nebuchadnezzar is king. He strips away from those who have been enslaved, the Jewish, the brightest, the smartest, the most talented. He invaded Jerusalem and he took back with him to Babylon the smartest, the brightest. We know them as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're mentioned in Daniel chapter 1. And the king said, "Put them in training for 3 years. And then I'll interview them and I'll determine whether or not I want to use them." They were the smartest and the sharpest, the Bible said. And when they came, they were commanded by the king to eat the king's portions. In verse 5, "And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of the time they may serve before the king." Verse 8, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies." And so Daniel sees this. He sees this food is, you've taken my name and you've taken my dignity and you've enslaved me, but I'm on a special diet. Listen, as a vow to my God, this is the key. As a vow to my God, there are things that I will not eat for a certain amount of time. Many believe it was a Nazarite vow that he was under. And so he had made a vow for a certain time that his diet would not be affected by the culture that he lived in. That's what we're doing for 21 days. What's so unreasonable about that? What's so fanatical about that? What's so bizarre about that? That we're saying, "God, for the next 21 days, I'm making a vow to you." It's not to the preacher. It's not to the fast. It's not to the church. It's not so my family will see it. I'm making a vow to you. God respects vows, and when you make a vow to God and keep that vow, he will entrust great power to you. I know that's the truth because I have experienced it. Sometimes when I went on the fast when I was younger, I didn't even know what I was doing, but I made a vow to God and I wouldn't stop. I wouldn't quit because I didn't promise myself or people. I promised God. And sometimes the only thing that'll keep you on a fast is the fact that you made a vow. And I said, God, I will vow to seek your direction and your will. And I'm so glad I did, because he had it. He had it, and he does for you. But God respects vows, and when you make a vow to God and you keep it, he will entrust you with great power. Your marriage is a vow. God respects strong vows. God respects people who say, I don't care what culture says. I don't care what other Christians say. I don't care what other people say. This is not about that. It's about me and God, and I'm making a vow to you, God, that over the next 21 days, because in Daniel chapter 10, he went on another fast, and it was for 21 days. Thus, by the way, 7 is the number of perfection. 7 and 7 and 7 is 21. 3 is the number of the Trinity, and 3 times 7 is 21. It's the perfect fast. God will not entrust people with great power who cannot live by vows. Daniel purposed in his heart, I will not defile myself with those foods for this season that I've made a vow to God. The junk the king was feeding, they thought was good for them, because the man that was over Daniel spoke up and he said, now, I don't know if I can let you do that or not, because I might get in trouble, because I think you're going to start looking bad if you don't eat the meat and eat some sugar and eat some bread. You're going to really look haggard and you're going to look rough, and the king's going to get mad at me. And he was believing a lie. See, some of you believe that if you go on this fast, it's going to kill you. People are not dying from fasting. They're dying from overeating and eating junk. Junk. Now, if you have physical issues, consult a physician. Absolutely. He said, and notice in verse 12, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better. Now, I had a problem with this part. And fatter in flesh. But the word fatter in the original language means stronger, stronger, healthier. Their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. The next verse. Thus the steward took away the portion of the delicacies, the wine that they drink, and gave them vegetables. So they're on it now. And these four men, God gave them knowledge and skill and literature and wisdom. Daniel had understanding and visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in. Notice that at the end of the days, when the king said they should be brought in. When was that? 3 years later. And the king interviewed them among them all, and none was found like Daniel. And these are the Hebrew names for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, they served before the king. These people are in a different culture. And here's one of the messages. We're not supposed to just be like and see how much we can be like the culture that we live in. That's why I love this time of 21 days. It says, God, clean me out, separate me. Put your hand on me, mark me. One of the most moving scriptures to me is in Ezra chapter 8. It's the last few verses somewhere in there. We proclaimed a fast that we would humble ourselves. What are we doing when we fast? We are humbling ourselves. We're saying, God, I repent. God, I've allowed things that in my life that I need a cleansing. I humble myself before our God to seek him in the right way for us. I'm fasting that God would lead me in the right way for us, our families, our little ones. Everybody say our little ones. My family's on the front row this morning for the most part. And I've been fasting, and Charisse has been fasting for many, many years for these children. And the burden never leaves. Don't you want your children to find the right way? Don't you want your children? Don't you want God's hand, His tender touch to be on their life? Don't you? You can't ever. Don't you know they need your prayers now? Don't you know, parents, they need you to petition God? And I don't care how old they get. The older they get, I think the more I worry about them. Seek Him for the right way for us and our little ones. And all you business people, listen to this. And all our possessions. Why are we fasting? Why are we fasting? That He would lead us in the right way for us. That our little ones would be blessed. That God would touch them and fill them with His Holy Spirit. Boy, I feel that youth thing again. I want to say to young people in this room, if you'll get in on this fast, I believe this one is for you. And for all our possessions, everybody say, all my possessions. And the thing I felt like decreeing is this is a year of increase. Get ready for increase. Expect increase. Talk increase. Plan for increase. Believe for increase. I said shout increase. Shout it again, increase. I don't care if you don't even see it. I hear the sound of abundance. Increase. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. When we started this story out, it was Nebuchadnezzar that was king. But now the guy who follows him is known as, if you studied in history, he's known as Cyrus the Great. Now let me tell you what he did, because it's so significant. He was mentored and tutored by Daniel. God raised Daniel up through the fast, even the 21-day fast, gave him understanding, gave him wisdom, gave him favor, put him in the king's palace. Then the king says, I want you to help Cyrus. And he does it. And now when Cyrus becomes king, you understand he was the one who ended Babylonian captivity. He was the one who said to all of the slaves, and as a matter of fact, there's something called the Cyrus Cylinder that is on the second floor of the United Nations, and they're going to show you a picture of it. That's it. That's words written on it in Hebrew, and it's a decree, and it's basically the first Bill of Rights for people of all nations and the slaves that were enslaved in the Babylonian captivity. He wrote a Bill of Rights and said they have right to be set free and to worship and to do and to live their life. And even Thomas Jefferson, you can check this out, he speaks of that in writing our Declaration of Independence. The ideas were taken from Cyrus the Great. Wait a minute, and where did that come from? Why would a heathen king who was not a worshiper of Jehovah come to power and let all of the slaves go and even told the Israelites, take gold, take money, I give you permission, go back and rebuild Jerusalem. And he gave them the resources to do it. Why would he do that? Because somebody was teaching him and talking to him. Who was the somebody? Daniel. And what was the deal with Daniel? He made vows to God concerning his diet. And he went on in Daniel chapter 10, a 21-day fast. And God gave him a vision of Israel being revived. And now God has used him in such a significant way that here we are free in America. And it even has roots back to fasting 21 days. So I say to you today, there's no greater time to fast than at the beginning of the year. Because what you do in the morning, if I pray in the morning, it sets the course for the rest of the day. If I read my Bible in the morning, it sets the course for the rest of the day. If I go to church on a Sunday, it sets the course for the rest of the week. And if I fast at the beginning of a year, it sets the course for the rest of the year. And God honors vows. Stand to your feet all over this room. Those of you in Gwinnett, stand to your feet. So now lift your hands high and say, Lord, speak to me in the next 21 days. Lead me. Guide me. God, I'm coming to you. I'm surrendering again. I want you to cleanse me again. I want you to set me free from everything that has defiled me. I need a cleansing. I humble myself in fasting and prayer. I'm going to seek you now. I'm going to fast and pray. And as I fast and pray, bless my family. Bless my little ones. Bless my possessions. Show me my direction. Give me your will. Oh God, I want your will. Now I want every teenager in this room to run down here as quick as you can get down here. Every teenager, 20 and under, come on. 20 and under, come on. 20 and under, come on. Hurry, 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 hurry. Every teenager. That's awesome. Look at that. I'm so proud of you. Come on. It's beautiful. Look how many kids are in this church. Get in. Push in. Come on. Come on. Keep clapping. This is huge. Keep clapping. Now what I see before me right now, and I'm sorry I'm going a little long this morning, but what I see before me, Shane, what I see is kids that are either going to go with the culture, what the king dictates, you know, the king of this world, the god of this world, Satan. He says, this is what you'll look like. This is how you'll be. This is what you'll do. This is what you'll drink, because everybody does it. This is what you'll smoke, because everybody does it. This is what you'll do, because everybody does it. You know, everybody's doing it. Everybody's having sex. That's what the king and the culture says. But I'm saying to you, this thing is real. I'm saying to you that the cross is not a plaything. That this is not a religious thing. That God has a plan for your life. And I want to say to every one of you parents, these kids that are in school systems, and I pray for our educators. I'm not here to damn and blast. No. That's not what I'm doing. But I'm just saying, they're in a system where the culture is one that after the ball game, you get high, you go sleep around, you do this, you do. The culture is every weekend. Who did you sleep with? Who are you partying with? And we got to decide, are we going to listen to the king and the culture, or are we going to listen to Jesus and say, Lord, I'll dare to be different. I'll not eat from that king's table. I'm going to fast and pray. Seek God. And you got to decide. And thank you for coming down here. Thank you for getting out of your seat. Thank you for being in church on a Sunday morning. Boy, I see Daniels and I see Shadrachs, Meshachs, and Abednegos. I see men and women right now standing before me that God has a marvelous plan for your life. Boy, if I could, I'd lay my hand on every one of you, and before this fast is over, we will. But I want to say to you, God can lay his hand on you right now. In the same way that a 21-day fast changed my life, and I'm telling you, I was radically changed through a 21-day fast. It can change. This is your fast. Lift your hands high all over this room and say, Jesus, I need some change in my life. It's a new year. I want a new start. So here I am. Take my life. Use me. Thank you. Thank you for directing me. Thank you for using me. Thank you for giving me purpose. Thank you for giving me your will. I'm praying and fasting all over this room. Can we go in a little overtime this morning? I know I've gone way over. I apologize. And can we just forget about ourselves for a few moments and lift our hands up toward heaven all over this room and let him begin to touch you, because there's a grace coming on you for this fast. So just lift your hands high now and worship.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life, and we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter @Jensen or Facebook @JensenFranklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast, and have a great week.